Welcome back. Well, Truworths has experienced deteriorating trading conditions in its two primary markets. And while that's seen the group's UK office margin decline, Truworths Africa's gross margins did manage to expand, seeing it leverage off rising sales on the send. Still not quite enough. Overall, group operating profit did come under some pressure, falling 2.3%. And the company's CEO, Michael Mark, joins us now with more on where the retailer is at. Thanks so much, Michael, for joining us this evening. So markets cheer. During what was a marginal rise in first half earnings from Truworths, some reading the numbers as Truworths having passed through the earnings trough. Have you?
Well, that's a very tough question as my first one, Alicia. Let me say this to you. It's been extremely tough the last couple of years, and everyone knows that, and it's not likely to change in the short term, certainly not in the next year or year and a half. But I think what the market is acknowledging is the fact that over the last couple of years, despite the tough times and despite the pressures on sales, we've managed to maintain superb margins, mm-hmm. and we've also managed to generate a lot of cash and pay consistent dividends. So I think the reliability and dependability of our business model is carrying us through. I'm hoping we've reached the bottom of the trough and it's starting to turn, but that depends on many factors, some of which are outside our control.
Absolutely. Like you say, for now, though, it's that improved margin that's really getting investors' attention at the moment. So how are you managing that? And more importantly, do you have enough control on costs to actually see those margins being sustained?
You know, Lisa, a lot of the skepticism of some of the analysts about our business model relates more to our gross margin. There's pretty universal consensus that we are excellent at managing our expenses. But the challenge is the gross margin, and some of them have criticized us in the sense that they feel our gross margin, if it was lowered, we could have more appealing prices and gain market share. We've always maintained that our business model, our DNA, in essence, means we have to have better end merchandise, higher quality, separate ourselves from our competitors, and maintain our gross margin without chasing market share. And I think at the moment that's working really well for us because it's protecting us in many ways against the falling economy because, as I said before, we're generating cash, we're generating great the ability to pay dividends, and yet our margins are not a disaster in terms of net margin, as you just said, and headline earnings per share actually was equal to last year.
Mm-hmm. That being said, though, how much room, you know, do you have to maneuver as far as cutting back on those margins are concerned, Michael? Because that does buy you, I guess, some ammunition if this economy does get a whole lot worse.
Yeah, no, you're correct. I mean, the biggest challenge is how, as you say, to control expenses below the gross margin. Gross margin, we feel we can maintain long term. But the problem is more, how do we control expenses? So what we've done, bearing in mind that we've sort of been acknowledging and aware of the fact that the economy has been tough for many years, we have positioned our expense base as much as we can to be relatively flexible. It's not completely flexible, but it is able to some degree react to sales trends and cut costs if so down. So we somehow manage that generally quite well.
Are you looking at all to cut back on your store footprint locally as a potential cost-cutting measure, Michael, like we've seen some of your peers start to do pretty aggressively?
Yes, we don't need to be as aggressive as some of them that you're referring to, but the principle of being very, very cautious on real estate is very valid. So the way we've done it, we did increase our space by, I think, 1%, but generally what we do is we consolidate in stores that are not performing well. We will consolidate our brand into one envelope instead of having two, three, or four envelopes. In other words, the space of a big Truworths might be split, and we'll have Truworths, a smaller one, and some of our brands like Naughty, Earthchild, and even Identity in separate stores, but in the same original space, which makes us not give up much space, but it certainly saves a lot on costs.
Of course, so you have been enhancing your digital visibility, improving your e-commerce presence, and that part of your strategy when it comes to turning your UK operations around. Is that something that you're tackling a whole lot more aggressively here at home as well, where the assumption is that that will bring costs down with less mortar exposure and also lower rental costs, lower labour costs, but also working as a way to potentially circumvent power outages? Or does that do very little to soften the blow of a low economic growth climate, modest wage growth and high unemployment?
No, the principle and philosophy, as you correctly say, in our London UK operation, we have 33 to 34% sales generated from e-commerce, whereas in South Africa it's about 1%. The idea is, of course, what you said, grow the e-commerce, and it should change things in our favor. But at this stage, there's still not a massive take-up of e-commerce by customers who sit in South Africa love to shop in stores. Funny enough, now that you say it, at the same time as we launched e-commerce, we also launched lay-bys, where people want to come to stores and won't have credit because they don't want to go out. And interestingly enough, the lay-bys is doing even better than the e-commerce. So you have to, in the South African context, have a multifaceted strategy.
Yeah, Michael, having said that, what has increasingly become a feature in the current climate, active accounts on the rise. So you've had credit sales on the up, cash sales coming in lower. And while that's great for sales, at what point does it become a danger because of the risk it presents on your books?
Bearing in mind, Alicia, that we've been a credit retailer for about years. It's not a new thing. And based on that, we have incredibly sophisticated technology in order to manage the risk you are referring to. So just as an example, we had the highest level ever of account applications in our history and the highest level of new accounts. But the amount of accounts that we actually approved credit dropped from over the last 3 years from a third were approved, two-thirds rejected by us because of credit worthiness, are now only 25%, a quarter, are being approved, 75% are being rejected. And of the quarter, another 10% don't come in anyway, even after we've approved them. So the number of people who apply versus the number who actually get credit is very different.
Okay, so you've got a handle on that. Of course, your confidence levels seem to be sitting pretty high. You've spent almost 500 million rand buying back your own shares during the period. More of that kind of activity on the cards, Michael?
Yeah, well, it probably is, bearing in mind that we generate a lot of cash. So we try and pay really good dividends, and our dividend yields at the moment is around about, it was 9%. So it's very high. And given the nature of the share price, the high dividend yield, our board felt that in addition to the good dividends, we should buy back shares quite aggressively. So as you know, we bought back 9 million. If the share price stays roughly where it is and around there, probably we may well, our board decides on that every 3 months, probably will continue to some degree.
Well, let's leave it there. Michael, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Michael Marks, CEO of Truworths.